This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Jax Richter.
And you're listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC. Woo! Today, we have Jax Richter, who will be co-hosting.
Hello, hello.
And who you'll probably remember from previous episodes and who's amazing and who I adore. And then also, New Brit will be adding a segment at the end of this one, so... stay tuned for that. Before we get started, I'm gonna do my normal thing of talking out of my ass for a minute. I don't have all my figures in front of me right now for my Ghana report, but I can tell you that yes, we're still on in Ghana. We're still doing well, so that's good. I'm excited that they're back. Still doing really well internationally and generally, but suddenly a bunch of Canadians are listening to us, and so what up? I love Degrassi. It goes there.
Degrassi.
Yeah, Degrassi's a fucking great show. And actually it was way more racy than I feel like a lot of a lot of American shows were. So and then also I have some shout outs to make to a website and some press. So we were actually listed as one of the top sex podcasts by Thrillist.com.
That's incredible.
It's fucking incredible. What's really amazing is we are up there with Dan Savage and Love and Radio, Death, Sex and Money. So like huge hitters. And they basically said that we are not for the weak of heart.
Yeah, that's to put it lightly.
I definitely appreciate that. But that's huge, just be on a list with those guys. And then also, shout out to Cosmo, who got some quotes from me for an article on scissoring. our topic is actually going to be intimacy, but before we get there, Jax, I would like to know how you feel about scissoring. Do you scissor? Have you ever scissored? Will you scissor again?
Oh my.
Is scissoring real in your life?
I have scissored in the past. I have to admit, it's been some time since I've partaken in the scissoring. Yeah. I do remember enjoying it, but it really, it's been a while.
And when you scissor, okay, when you use the term scissoring, are you talking about, like, the blue is the warmest color style where you're both lying, like, prostrate and, like, your legs are, like, in each other's faces and, like, all that?
This was the kind that I remember, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was, this many, many moons ago, I was probably, from, like, 18 to 22, a little bit of a scissoring enthusiast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What happened? What changed?
I don't know. I guess I discovered new things that excited me a little bit more. I'm not opposed to scissoring again. I mean, it's definitely something that I would do again.
Actually, what?
Well, actually, I would want to do it again.
Yeah, yeah. So there's scissoring in your future?
I think so. Okay. I hope so.
Well, I wish you good scissoring. Do you think, though, because, like, I feel like... because of movies like Blue is the Warmest Color, a lot of people think, like, oh, man, that's just, like, all
that's what
all,
lesbians
all,
do?
Yeah, that's what lesbians do, and that, yeah, like, no. All lesbians do that.
No.
And I don't know that there's actually been statistics on scissoring, but...
Official, we should actually do one.
Yeah, we should. I know any, like, statisticians out there, like, just hit me up, and let's do a scissor study. But in your mind, do you think that it's something that a lot of, like, queer women do? It's not, well, it's not just lesbians, but, you know, women.
I would have ventured to say no, but I'm really not an authority on the topic. I haven't asked.
But I mean, from your friends group, like, it's like, hey, I was just scissoring.
You know, it seems like something that people have done.
Yeah.
And do, but definitely not, like, the main thing. That's not the main thing at all.
No, it's not. Definitely not. But yeah, and... one of the quotes that they took from me for the article was actually, I attributed it to a friend, and I did give her credit. I didn't just make it up myself, but I was, like, hanging out with a bunch of queer women, and we were all just, like, we'd all recently seen Blue as the Warmest Color, and we're like, what the fuck was with all the scissoring?
Yeah, I thought it was a little much.
And also all the crying. They were scissoring and crying. And then my friend Nicole, she channeled Jimmy Dugan from A League of Their Own and was just like, there's no crying and scissoring. So keep that in mind. Like, there's no crying and scissoring, all right? Just like there's no crying in baseball.
I hope not. I really hope
not. Yeah, hopefully. So I'm sure you all want to know about my thoughts on scissoring.
Yes, please.
I find the the prostrate legs in the face thing.
It's a kind of awkward.
It's awkward and unappealing, and I find it also a little hard to get it right.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little problematic. However, and I wish this wasn't under the umbrella of scissoring, but I think it is. There are other ways to enjoy a nice mutual vulva rub. Mm. You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
You
know, you can tell.
Well, you know, you can just be like, one person can be lying on top of your person, both of your bodies face the same way, and you know, one tilts up their pelvis and one pushes down their pelvis. Sometimes you might need a little knee action for leverage, but that can feel really good. However, I have found that like it doesn't work with everyone, and I wonder if there's some sort of like body compatibility thing that's necessary for it. I don't know.
I wonder what that would be.
I'll say that it you know, this is a shocker to the listeners. It works a lot better when I'm on the bottom. So
You've tried like, both ways and you've decided.
No surprise there. So not only do I suck at drilling with a strap on, I kind of suck at being a scissor top.
Well, let me ask you, how often, I mean, do you scissor currently, presently?
Okay, well, I,
are you blushing?
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
Because, as we all know, I'm seeing this lovely lady who, Jax, you've met her. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes, she's gorgeous.
She's so beautiful. And in addition to being beautiful, she's also, like, awesome and sweet and really just an all-around wonderful person. But starting to date someone while I was already doing this show, I got a lot of anxiety about how to continue talking about my sex life while also, like...
While not being a slutty lesbian?
While not being a slutty lesbian and growing close with someone. And I kind of made this decision that... I kind of really value her privacy, and I value, I don't want to drag her into my, like, overshare situation.
Right.
And also I find that, like, I'd rather have conversations about sex, in our sex life with her than with, like, the world.
Right.
So that doesn't mean I'm never going to talk about my sex life again, people. It just means
thank
in my
goodness.
Current situation, I think that privacy is necessary for our topic, intimacy. Sometimes.
Okay.
That is. But yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we all do boy talk, and you know what I mean? Jax and I have sometimes told each other some things. But again, that's a little different than doing it on the radio.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't
well, even, I respect that.
Yeah. But... So intimacy. So I guess I wanted to talk about intimacy for a couple of reasons. One is we haven't. And two is it applies to everyone. And I feel like a lot of the topics lately have been exclusively queer. And while I love queerness and my queer self, you know, I kind of want to reach out to
be
the
a little
rest
more
of the
inclusive
world as well. But also, a good friend of mine, my best friend, Vintage Brit, who, as I've mentioned before, New Brit gets her name from, she sent me an article, like, of some study that said that couples that fart in front of each other are, like, have higher rates of happiness than couples that don't. And, of course, if you're farting in front of each other, I think that implies that you... feel quite intimate and comfortable.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, there's a big difference between intimacy and sex, which I'd like to explore as well.
Exactly.
But so Jax, tell me about farting in relationships.
Oh my, thank you for that segue.
Is that something that you ever do?
I guilty, yeah. Yeah, I have to say guilty as charged.
Okay. And when does it usually like get, like when do you, like does it just happen
usually,
by accident or do you make a decision? Today I'm going to fart in front of her. Just to
usually
let her know I love her.
It happens by accident. It's something that I try to avoid for as long as possible.
Yeah.
In the early stages, you know.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the hottest thing.
The early stages where there's a quote from 30 Rock that I love. It's like, love is going to sleep in your makeup and pooping at the Taco Bell down the street. those early stages where it's like, I never poop. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never pooped in my life.
Like, you could use poopery.
Yeah, poopery is good.
Right?
I just
recently became aware of that.
Oh, yeah, poopery is pretty. That's that stuff that you put in the toilet.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Is it before you poop or after?
Before.
Oh, yeah.
Was that
really,
the problem?
Does that really work?
It does.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, I used it at a friend's house, but I whatever poop I had that day wasn't a particularly stinky one in general, so I couldn't tell.
Well, that's good. You're healthy.
Sometimes. But, so yeah, so.
So farting.
So, yeah, so. You're seeing someone now, and again, I'm not going to talk about my stuff. I'll talk about farting. But you've been
you're in the beginning stages. This is the early
You're in the beginning stages of
in quotation marks seeing someone stages.
Well, seeing someone is vague, so
it's very vague.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. Yeah. Because, yeah. It's not defined. I won't ask you about that. but you're now farting in front of each other.
I have to say we are.
Yeah, and when did that start?
Very recently.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah, maybe like in the last couple weeks.
Who was the first farter?
She was.
Yeah, no.
She was.
Was it like a cute little like was it like a silent but deadly?
It was a cute one.
Okay.
It was a cute one.
And was she like embarrassed?
She was completely mortified and embarrassed, of course. And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And instantly felt closer to her.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it's amazing how that happens.
Yeah. It's something, it's quite cute. I've dated some people whose farts were not cute.
Also, I feel like it's the quantity. Like, how often are you farting? This is not something that...
Yeah, you don't want it.
Should
want
be done.
Happening around
the exactly.
Yeah. No, I dated this one girl who, she Dutch ovened me a couple of times, which was not fun.
Dutch? Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? If anyone doesn't know what that means, that means you're in a blanket situation.
Oh,
you're under blankets. And then someone farts, and then that person, like pulls the blanket up over the other person's head so they're stuck in their under fart.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's not sexy.
So yeah, I had a girlfriend who did that a couple times and it was not fun. She got a really big kick out of it like every time though.
Was she 12? How old were you when this was happening?
I was like 20 or 21 and she was 5 years older than me, so I don't know if she's, you know,
wow.
we're all a lot older.
Late
now. I don't
developer.
Know if she's still doing that, but I should send her a message and feel like.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I wonder,
still
was that
ovening?
Only for me? yeah, but no, and then I've had other girlfriends that have like little cute farts and
but
it's fine.
Do you consider farting intimate?
Here's the thing. I do. However, I don't usually fart in front of people if I can help it because, as you said, like, oh, I'm healthy. No, I'm not usually. I eat Doritos and drink beer, and so...
You're just not a gassy person.
No. My point is I do fart, but when I do, they're kind of stinky, and I don't want to subject people to that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well,
I'll
that's
go,
considerate
I'll
of
go,
you.
I'll go walk away or, like, go to the bathroom or something.
Well, that's kind of the mentality I'm in as well.
But that's the thing. I mean, if it was... But, you know... It has happened by accident, and I could never date someone who is like, it is over. I can't believe you did
no,
that.
No, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no,
I
no,
mean
no.
That's just.
I was with someone for quite some time, pretty long relationship, and I have to say, during the course of that relationship, it might have been about 4.5 years. I think I witnessed her fart once.
Oh. Okay.
One time, yeah. And
you
I wanted, and I, yeah,
like
I felt like there was something missing almost for me. Not that I would, you know, look forward
right.
to the farts.
Well, again, it represents
just
a larger thing. Do you feel like there were intimacy problems otherwise?
Well, there were.
Yeah. Did you
feel
that there was like some level of closeness you just couldn't reach?
Well, that's the thing is we were very close, but there was other types of intimacy problems, if you will.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but we were very close and intimate, so I thought. It's just that when it came to any kind of bodily functions, I mean, even with her going to the bathroom, like, she just, you know, no doors open ever.
Mm-hmm.
I never was ever, you know, witnessing her do her thing.
Yeah.
One or two. Not that I'm, like, looking forward to two.
Yeah.
That's something I think should be kept private, but... I mean, the occasional, you know, pee with the door
open,
you know,
that's no problem.
Come on, you know.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, you know, I know that, you know, I know I've known plenty of straight couples that pee in front of each other, but I do think that we also have a leg up on being girls that, like, you know, it's a thing girls grow up doing. We pee together. Oh my God, let's go pee together.
Yeah, it's true.
It takes me a while to pee in front of someone though, because I'm a timid tinkler.
I'm the kind of person where
if someone's like, like sometimes even in a public restroom, if someone's like waiting for me, I'll feel a lot of fucking pressure to get it. And so in my head, I start going, go, go, go. And then I can't do it.
Then you psych yourself out.
And then I'm like, they don't hear me peeing, which means they probably think I'm pooping. And I'm like, and I start going to this. Actually, last night. I was at a party last night, and they put all the beer in the bathtub with like a bunch of ice, and I was like, that's gonna become like problematic when people start having to go to the bathroom, and I knew that this would be a problem for me. And so I was in there, and then I was peeing, and then this guy started like knocking on the door, like, hey, I need a beer. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't. Like, it was so hard for me to like actually. I had to turn on the faucet,
trying to
put my hand under some warm water.
Oh my goodness. Like,
really, yeah, I don't know.
That was a real situation for you.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I've always been a freaking timid tinkler.
So do you think there's like levels to intimacy? So there's like farting. You start with the farting, possibly. You think that's in the very beginning, early stages, and then it goes to what?
I don't know. I start with when I notice that I like someone. If we're lying in bed and like, let's say like I see like a blackhead or a pimple on her back, I will go for it and I will fucking take it.
Oh, and that is
do you never pop anyone's acne? Oh my God, no, there's nothing more intimate than that.
That's true.
I've had
acne popped, but I've not been the popper. It did something about that. I don't know. I'd rather fart.
Did it make you feel like a little bit too much of a bottom? You've mentioned you like the top.
I have.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
I wasn't sure if I was unclear on that. No. I don't know. It feels gross to me. Like the whole thing. I guess it's just a little too much. Mm. I don't know.
No, I think it's perfect. I think it's lovely. But I think about it like you know how like monkeys like sit around and like groom each other.
And that's pretty cute when you see monkeys doing it.
Yeah, I know. It's like cute when you have two hot.
We'll do like other, you know, like an eye booger, sure. Help them out. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. But like acne just grosses me out, period.
No. Yeah. Well, you know. You look like you've never had any, so.
No. Please. Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
I
we'll talk about this later. We're gonna have an argument of you have never had a pimple. No, yeah. Like, yeah. We're gonna be like complete chicks.
So after the acne, is there another stage?
Then probably like peeing. I mean, and then you know, when you maybe you'll go like a day longer without like shaving your legs or something like that.
Yep.
You know, just because like, and I mean, I think it's important to try and still be like attractive for your partner. But hey, sometimes you're fucking busy and don't have fucking time to shave your legs. And if you're in that, but that moment where like, I'm not going to freak out. It's fine. Whereas like when you first start seeing someone, you're like, oh my God, I don't want them to see me with like, you know, and for the record, for the queer people that don't shave your legs, I support you and all that. I like to have my leg shaved.
Same.
So
same.
You know, but more power to you. Absolutely. And then
scissoring. Let me see. Blue is the warmest color. Oh, crying.
Oh,
crying.
Yeah. Have you cried in front of your partner yet?
No. No.
Well, that's probably good. That like, you guys haven't been dating.
It's long. Not that long. Yeah. I'm like, sorry, we're not there.
I mean, as long as, I mean, like, if she wasn't the one making you cry, it wouldn't be so terrible. But like at this point, yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, crying. Oh, have I cried?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've cried yet. I started to on one occasion, but I like that was pretty early on, and so I held back. I don't know if she noticed, she probably did, but like anyway, and it wasn't anything she did, it was like about a topic anyway. So I have like lots of topics that make me sad. I also cry whenever I watch Kindergarten Cop, so like, so
okay.
If I ever watch like Kindergarten Cop with her, yeah, she'll see the waterworks. Or Bridges of Madison County, like
that's
yeah.
different though, crying like in front of a movie,
Inside Out,
at a movie, you know. I mean like crying about something in your life.
Oh, but you know, well, I haven't cried about my life, but I have been a lot more open. I have a really hard time. I think a lot of people have a really hard time with this, but I have a really hard time talking about money with partners.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Satisfaction in, like, career with partners, things like that, because they're all things that I, like, get freaked out and vulnerable about. I mean, it's just hard to be vulnerable, you know? Yeah. And, like, you want, you know, at first we kind of all want everyone that we start seeing to see us as these, you know, these beings that can take care of everything that, like, will never need, like, you know, and, you know, it's
help or in any way.
I have opened up about, like, dissatisfaction I've had with my career and things like that, and, like, you know, stuff about my family. You know, everyone has, like, family shit.
Yeah.
You know, you always have that moment. We all have the baggage. You have that first moment with your partner where you're like, and then my daddy was mean. Like, you know, like, yeah. So, have you gotten to that level of talking about all your shit?
I'm actually with you. I mean, some of my triggers of vulnerability have a lot to do with finances and career, at least recently, this last year. So it's been a rough year for me.
Yeah.
So you start seeing somebody and, you know, you want to, I guess, shower them with tons of appreciation, you know, both fiscally as well as other ways.
You want to pay for every dinner.
You want to pay for everything. Yeah. You want to, you know, buy them things and... And if you're in a situation where you can, you become embarrassed, especially if they have their shit together in that particular area.
Yeah.
You know, then it makes you, well, at least can make me feel a little bit more vulnerable. But that's the funny thing is, like, I want to be with someone who has their stuff together. It's not that, you know, we all have our shit, you know, but, you know, like, synergy. It's like, okay, so I might be having, you know, troubles in this area, but if you're strong in that area, that's a good... You know,
yeah,
hopefully
those things can work.
I mean, that's
out.
The way I see it. But it also can add to my feelings of vulnerability, and I'm not very quick to open up. Like, I'll keep things pretty vague, you know, at least right now.
Yeah, no, I can be. I also feel. I mean, I also, you know, a lot of that is cultural too. Like, not just in American culture, but New York culture especially. It's really funny. In New York, it's completely okay to talk about how much you pay in rent, but it's never okay to talk about your income.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for those of you that don't live in New York, yeah, when you're in New York, it's a very normal question to ask someone, oh, how much do you pay? This is a great place. How much do you pay in rent? It's, like, not, like, an over pry, where I think it might be in different, like, geographic areas. How much do you buy this house for? You know? And people are like, whoa, that's, you know, like, what
pretty
are you talking about? And obviously those things can be indicators of how much you make, but... You know, again, that's just, like, you don't go there. But, you know, I've also been on both sides of the coin when it comes to finances.
Same.
Relationships. Like, I've been the one who's been making more money.
Same, exactly.
And a lot more money. And then I've been the one who's been, like, dead ass broke in other occasions while someone else, like, had the money. And, like, neither position is comfortable. And actually, I have to say, I was a lot more stressed out when I was making more money than, like, partners, like, because. I felt that it created a divide.
It does.
And I felt that it made them feel like they couldn't talk to me about stuff. Right. And then also, I have this problem of trying to solve everyone's problems.
Mm.
So if it was like, I'd be like, hey, here's some money, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Which isn't really, not that you shouldn't help your partner out, depending on the situation, of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I could definitely get, like, over, and I'm not saying anyone ever took advantage of that. People I'm talking about were really lovely people. But at the same time, there are times that I definitely overextended myself and spent savings I shouldn't just to, like.
Same.
You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, in my previous relationship, that's, you know, when the relationship started, and throughout most of the relationship, that was my position in it, you know, more of the, at least initially, financially, the caretaker and many other ways, and just, like, the one that showers her with, you know, all these, like, presents and things like that, and this is kind of how I saw myself and what I wanted to do, and this last year has been rough for me, you know, and so I find that, you know, I'm starting to see somebody, they have their act together in this particular arena, and it's been a rough year, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's quite honestly, it's embarrassing because you don't want to be in that position. I don't want them to feel like they have to, make up the difference.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel that, like, give them that pressure.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you know, you can't go beyond your means.
Yeah, so it's unavoidable. You know? Someone's like, "Let's have dinner at 11 Madison Park tonight."
Exactly, and you're like, "Shit."
Well, here's a solution I have for that. People is that, and this is, like, something that I've adopted in the last few years. If you, let's say you want to take someone out, you want to go somewhere really fancy, like, or, you know, if you're gonna go somewhere fancy, I think you should, no matter who you are in the relationship, You shouldn't put that financial burden on someone, and only do it if you're willing to pay. You know?
Yeah.
And otherwise, like, I'll be like, let's meet at a dive bar. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Let's get tacos.
Exactly.
But, like, if, but I'm not.
That's the problem, is like, sometimes the girls that I'm seeing, they don't do the dive bar thing.
Yeah.
So it's
that,
like,
that can
it's.
That can be problematic.
Yeah. I've literally avoided going on dates with certain girls recently because I knew that this was just not. I wasn't going to be able to, I guess, take him to a nice enough place.
Mm.
And I was really insecure about that, so I just avoided the date altogether.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I really do. This is where I presently, at least, I not always, but most recently have issues with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely tricky. It's also just, I also find... I'm not going to ask you what it is, but do you know what you want in life?
No.
Yeah, me neither. And I find that really
and
hard
and
to talk
about.
And
that's why this year, you know, I took a lot of time away from my career because I thought that I was going to be changing careers and I didn't put so much focus.
Mm-hmm.
And the career that I have presently, it requires a lot of time. It's all,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it. There's no hourly, there's no salary, so if you're not putting that time in,
mm-hmm.
you're just not making money. And this
yeah.
is kind of like what happened this last year. I was like, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to figure out what I want,
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing, and, you know, I made a conscientious choice, you know, to not focus so much on the finances, but then the other end of that is you're not focused on the finances,
you're
and...
You're not making finances.
You're not making finances,
yeah.
and now you're in a little bit of a hole, and so that's kind of... how it happened for me and where I find myself trying, like, okay, I don't know what I want and now I'm broke. So
yeah,
I know
yeah.
I need to get it together.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you find that hard to talk about though? Just like not knowing what you want, or is
yeah.
that something that's easy for you to talk? It's difficult?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like you're supposed to, because like we're all supposed to know what we want, or at least we're told that we are. And it's not like there aren't options of things to want, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff out
there.
Like,
what's the problem?
Yeah,
but you have to try a bunch of different things.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And so that's something that I don't know. I mean, I've dated some people who are quite goal-oriented and, or quite passionate, you know, about, like, something that they did, you know, either, like, an art or, like, whatever. And other people who are just goal-oriented in terms of career and family. And I always found it really embarrassing to really not know what I wanted on any of those levels. And I found it really hard to talk about, and so hard to talk about sometimes that I would extend myself to situations that I wasn't quite ready for, just because I thought it was easier to go along with like what someone else wanted than to tell the truth of, I have no idea what I fucking want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think I'm getting better at that now. It's usually one of the first things I tell people. Like,
you don't know what you want?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I kind of, I hate my job, and I have no idea what I, you know, want to do when I grow up. Since
yeah.
this 33-year-old.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you know, and the thing is, if that is going to freak someone out, that's person's not for me.
Right.
You know, at least not for me right now. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is also what I was telling myself recently. Well,
yeah.
then, you know, it's yeah, and this is also why I wasn't really actively dating. I mean, like the last 9 months has been a huge dry spell for me, but it was by choice.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
a lot of it had to do with, I know where I'm at in my life right now, and I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we always have a lot of work to do, but it was like a lot of like self exploration, you know, and just getting my act together, and I just didn't feel like I had the emotional capacity or financial capacity to date.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's expensive dating.
Yeah,
it is
expensive and emotionally taxing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have another show about to come in, so we should actually wrap up. This is going to be this is obviously one of our shorter episodes, but Nubrit is going to come on in 5 seconds, and she's going to talk about stuff, and she's going to talk about all this stuff. And she actually, I mean, I hope she doesn't get mad, but she's had some changes in her life recently, and I'm
uh-huh.
not going to be.
I saw on social media.
I'm not going to be the one to announce these things. I'm wondering if you and I are thinking about the same thing. We might not be. But so she's had some new developments in her life that I hope that she talks about, and she'll definitely be talking about intimacy. So thanks a lot, and take care, guys.
Bye.
This is Nubrit, coming to you live from right next to the Nantahala River in North Carolina, on my way to Asheville to visit a very dear old friend. I won't be in North Carolina for much longer because I have big changes ahead in my life. The rumors are true. What the Victator mentioned in passing but didn't elaborate on is that I broke up with Sexy Not Swarthy. So I am officially single again, which I gotta say I'm pretty excited about. And I'm moving to Savannah. So even though I won't be living and loving in NYC anymore, I'm still going to be here either in some capacity doing segments at large or calling into the show. We're trying to figure out the technology required to be able to call in and argue with the Victator, even if I'm living far, far away from New York City from now on. I hear that this month's topic is intimacy. And I actually have a lot of thoughts on that subject. The first thought is that there are different kinds of intimacy. I think when a lot of people use that word, they're usually talking about physical intimacy. And I think that extends like way beyond just sex. I know that the Victator and Jax touched on like the physical intimacy of farting around your partners, and like I think that's definitely an intimate act for a lot of people. For me, I just take for granted that that will happen sooner than later because I fart a lot, and if someone's gonna date me, they have to deal with that. I'm not really I don't really pretend that I'm not a human being who doesn't have bodily functions. So for me, like, the levels of physical intimacy I have different range of categories. I think it's way more intimate to, like, have somebody check out that itchy thing on your butt or nethers because you want to know, like, what it is before you go to the doctor. That kind of, like, just getting to know each other's body in ways that are not necessarily sexy, but that, like, still somehow don't preclude you from finding each other attractive. That, to me, is the ultimate in physical intimacy. And then there's, like, emotional intimacy. And for some people I know, especially for, like, demisexuals and people on the asexual spectrum, like, they require the emotional intimacy before the physical intimacy. For me, I can have the physical intimacy without the emotional intimacy fairly easily because maybe it's because I'm, like, I've been historically hornier than I have been willing to be emotionally intimate. I'm sure some of our listeners can relate to that. I've been actually thinking a lot about what it takes for me to be actually emotionally intimate with anyone. And I think I'm at a point in my life where I've realized I need a certain kind of mental and emotional, what is the word for being in sync? It's not syncopation, but I like the sound of that. Something like feeling like you see each other. I had a friend one night when we were having drinks, she looked at me and she said, "I just miss being seen." And I think that a lot of people, when they're talking about emotional intimacy, what they're talking about is the ability to see and be seen by someone. Outside of poetic terms, I think what that means is somebody who really gets who you are. And the surprising thing is, I think a lot of people expect that to just happen naturally, but it actually takes a lot of work, and it requires for someone to know you, like, you yourself have to be vulnerable and show who you are. If you're always trying to be like the best version of yourself or the version of yourself that you think that another person will find attractive, then you'll never actually be honest, and you'll never actually find someone who likes you as you are. And I've made the mistake multiple times in my life of trying to conform to what I thought someone's expectation was of what a good version of New Brit should be. And almost always, even in relationships with my family, almost always when I finally broke down and said, "I'm sorry, okay, I've been pretending, like, this is who I am," almost always people are grateful for that. And it's amazing when you extend that kind of vulnerability to other people, how they respond in kind and confess things about themselves that they're embarrassed by, or confess things that they have been hiding from other people. That's something I think the queer community deals with a lot, especially among intimate relationships that are not romantic, especially among familial relationships, because there's always this breaking of the dam when you come out, a kind of reckoning with the person in the mirror. And sometimes that is awful. Sometimes family members and people we love don't accept us for who we are. And then sometimes it's great because you realize that you can be loved the way that you were created, or the way that you created yourself. So I've been thinking a lot about how, beyond those relationships, how in these romantic relationships that we choose to find a person that I can actually be emotionally intimate with. Because I think I have let myself choose partners a lot in the past based almost entirely on how sexually attractive I found someone. And frankly, that's not working. It's not doing it. And it's not working just because, like, those people are not always, just because they look attractive, they're not always necessarily sexually compatible, but also because I think I'm really at heart a sapiosexual, and I need this like intense intellectual connection with someone to really feel like I can open up and be myself with them. And that's hard to find. I don't care who you are, whatever your interests are, what your intellect, what you need to feel at home, that's hard to find. So, I don't have any advice for how to do it. I think the best advice for learning how to be emotionally intimate is to learn how to be intimate with yourself. It's much easier to be honest with other people if you're first able to be honest with yourself about your desires and wants. I think I've definitely deceived myself, or convinced myself many times that I could be something that I'm not. For example, I've spent years of my life learning how to be extroverted and learning how to put myself in social situations and work a room and meet strangers and go out all the time. And the fact is, I'm like in my early 30s now, and I'm freaking exhausted because I'm not naturally an extrovert. And I'm kind of doing this reevaluation of how I order my hours of every day, of how I take care of myself, and what brings me joy and happiness. And for all of my wild and crazy sex that I had in New York City, at the end of the day, I'm one of these people who is happiest coming home, taking a shower, putting on my PJs, and jumping in bed with a book. And there is no shame in that. I am like not a person that wants to go out to a club. I'll go have a beer at the bar. Lord knows the Victator and I have had some fan-fucking-tastic conversations, just like hashing shit out over beers, but usually in like divey quiet bars where like you can hear yourself think and you can really connect with the other person across from you. It's been really interesting to like come to this time in my life and step back and objectively evaluate, okay, what do I want from a relationship? What do I want from my life? What do I want from my day-to-day world? What do I need to feel emotionally healthy? What kind of work should I be doing in order to feel satisfied and to afford the life that I care about? Who do I need to be close to geographically? Do I need to see trees all the time, or am I like okay with living in a big giant city? And the answers to all of that, I'm still working out. So far, what I've gotten to is that I can't freelance anymore because it's driving me up the wall, because it's feast or famine when it comes to work, and I need benefits or else my mother's going to have a heart attack over my health insurance. So I'm getting a full-time job. Other things I'm doing, moving to Savannah. so different than New York City? Has a thriving queer community a little more underground than New York City, to say the least, but I look forward to reporting from that world and giving you a perspective on what I see and observe. So far, I have gotten drunk at the American Legion bar downtown, and there was like a bunch of lesbies just like chilling and having a good night. And I noticed the only graffiti at the local coffee shop called The Sentient Bean was, I think it was like Chelsea Loves Rochelle or something. So that put a big smile on my face. I feel like it's going to be a lot of fun to get to know the city. And as for all the other questions, I'll let you know. This is kind of my version of emotional intimacy with our listeners, you know? It's like, it's good to have these conversations with yourself alone and with the people you love, because I think otherwise it's like way too easy to just kind of put your life together with someone else's and let time pass and not realize that you're both going in a direction that neither one of you necessarily want. I think we talk a lot about consent around sex, but I think it's also important to talk about consent around your life and make sure that you are aware and acquiescing consciously to how your relationships and your life progresses. So that's what I'll leave you with. When it comes to emotional intimacy, I think it's important to have consent talks and be like, well, I'm applying to grad school this year. Do you think that's great? Do you think you'd want to come with me? This is really important to me. Is that also important to you? You know, questions like that, those kind of conversations need to happen. I'm not applying to grad school. I already did that roller coaster. But that was a conversation I probably should have had back in the day, but right before I got married when I did. So anyway, consent, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, it's important either way. This is Laura Jean Moore, a.k.a. New Brit, signing off, from the Nantahala River in North Carolina. I'll talk to you next month from Savannah, Georgia. Y'all have fun out there. Don't get in trouble. Bye.